Thank you, Lord, for giving us all another day so that we can learn your word, Lord, so we can hear your ministers and understand. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. Turn over to Psalm 51. This one just kind of struck out at me this morning. Psalm 51, starting in verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightst be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall shew forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, and build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Some strong words there. Some words that we all need to take to heart. To wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. We know iniquity is sin, pride. And we all know that daily we need to be cleansed of this. Some days hourly. When we sin against God. We turn away from Him and we do what we should not do. We know we should not do it, but we do it anyway. And we all need to be cleansed constantly, because we all do it. Bickering, fighting, slandering, lying, lusts, all these things we do, we don't do against each other. We do them against the Lord. Take this message that David gave in this psalm. Read it and study it. Understand it. Believe it, as we believe all of God's word. And we shall make it. All we have to do is do what the Lord would have us do through His word. Amen. Spirit within me, create in me a clean heart,
within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew my spirit within me. Cast me not away from my presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me all the joy of thy salvation, and renew thy spirit within me. Jesus, love of my soul.
I understand Melanie has something for us this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As many of you know, last Sunday, I guess, verbally and outwardly moved forward in the Lord as a licensed minister. And it did not take long for the devil to mount an attack against that. As you might know, I'm just about 4 months pregnant. And on Wednesday, I started bleeding. And on Thursday, I started cramping. So we went to the midwife. We prayed. We asked the Lord to take care of whatever this was to protect the baby. We went to the midwife. We had an ultrasound, which showed that everything was perfectly fine. And then we did a whole bunch of blood tests. So we're like, perfect. Thank you, Lord. Everything's fine, just as we thought it would be. Then yesterday morning, I got a phone call from my midwife saying that one of the blood tests came back, that I had a 1 in 15 chance of having a chromosome defect that would kill the baby, either in the womb or within the first year. And I think she expected me to have a freak out, but I just asked questions. I got my answers. I'm going to see her on Wednesday for another test. And I went and found Scott. And then we went to Davey. And the very first thing Davey said to me was, be not afraid of sudden fear. And in talking with Davey and Scott, we prayed. We prayed for the Lord to deliver this baby of any health problems that it may have, or to deliver me of this baby. If these health problems were there and they weren't going to be reversed, just, Lord, we put it in your hands. And that's what we've done. And I have to be okay with that. And I started thinking about it last night. I asked Scott, I said, what am I supposed to be thinking or feeling right now? And he said, you should be thanking the Lord for handling it. I said, okay. And then like an hour or two later, I said, you know what? Jesus isn't a liar. He's a just God. We prayed for this baby. We prayed that the Lord give us a baby, and obviously he answered this prayer. So why would he give us a defective baby? That's just not how he works. And Scott said, well, what did I tell you a couple days ago? And he said, the devil was trying to take something from us. I said, well, where did this come in? He said, well, it was his last play in it. So it's kind of stupid. He really overplays his hand. And it's his pride. And he's blinded and bound up in his pride so much that from the way I see it, that isn't he sick of losing? But I started thinking about it. He doesn't lose all the time. He probably loses rarely, because people get into a situation like this, or something as simple as they get asthma or allergies or something like that, and they join themselves to it. They don't say, well, that's not right. That's not what the Lord has given me. They say, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I have this thing. Oh my gosh, my baby's going to die. And they join themselves to him. And he's believed over the promise. In that, we lose sight of Jesus and we join ourselves to the lie. And just like that, he wins. And he revels in our unbelief. But he's not going to win here. Amen. And I found the verse that Davey said to me, and of all places, Proverbs 3, which I frequent in my head a lot, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But this is Proverbs 3, 25 and 26. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. The Lord is my confidence, and my hope is in him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I was reading over in James, and I think I want to talk a little bit about the difference between hearing and doing God's word. Let's go over to James chapter 1. Start reading at 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, hearing God's word without doing kind of lends, it opens yourself up to a self-deception, really. I mean, we're not to merely listen to the word. But look, I mean, James isn't devaluing hearing, right? Hearing the word is important. Over in, I think it's Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What James is getting at here is that hearing alone is not enough. Hearing must be accompanied by action. The person who hears without doing is like that person who looked into a mirror, walked away, and forgot what they looked like. Looking into God's word reveals our true condition, like a mirror reveals our face. Right? It shows the true condition of our heart. I mean, if we're going to be honest with ourselves and honest with what we're reading. But if we hear the word and walk away forgetting, not taking the steps that we need to take in order to address what it is we've been shown, then we deceive ourselves Right? We can walk away feeling justified or somehow more spiritual because we learned this thing in the Bible, but we didn't apply it to ourselves. So really, we're worse off than when we started. I mean, how many times have you heard or read, you know, heard it here in service, or somebody said something to you or read it in the Word, something that just kind of hit home with you, something that made you think, it convicted you, you realize you've been doing wrong, that you needed to change. You might have even said to yourself, I'm going to change, right? I'm going to do something different. That's it. I'm moving forward. I'm going to get myself right with the Lord. Then time passes. Might only be a couple minutes. Might be a week. Might be a year. I don't know. I mean, for each of us, it's different. But shortly after you made that commitment and that promise, you just forgot. I mean, what good did it do you? Didn't do you any good. Now, as contrast, the doer undertakes that commitment with a serious intent, a determination, moves forward, not wavering, not fainting, not being dissuaded, not forgetting. The doer's not content. The doer is continuously looking intently and persistently into the Word. The doers exposing their hearts to God, asking for Him to cleanse them, to show them what they need to do to get themselves right with Him. I mean, one of the things that Bob said was, I mean, when we sin against God. We don't sin against man, right? And in that psalm that he was reading, David's asking for forgiveness from God in accordance with His loving kindness. Now that's interesting. But if we look out here in the world, we know that the hearts of men, they don't have that loving kindness. How hard is it for us to forgive one another? With God, things are possible. But without Him, we're in a pretty deplorable state. That doer is exposing that hideous heart of his to the Lord, asking for His forgiveness according to His loving kindness, looking for help, looking for ways to improve. The doer doesn't forget what they saw and does what the Word says and puts into practice what they learned in the Word of God. I mean, when it comes down to it, I mean, look, folks, the Lord wants doers. He doesn't want pew warmers. And the question is what are you going to be? You going to be a doer? You going to walk away from here? You going to further deceive yourself? Or are you actually going to do something? If you'll make a commitment to obey His Word, honestly move forward in that, you can be a doer. It's my hope that we all become doers.
Praise the Lord. Today I'm going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I think. The other day I was thinking about a movie I watched. I watched a movie that I'm sure all of you have seen one form of it or another. About D-Day. And whether you see a documentary or whether you see a Hollywood version of it, it doesn't matter because they all show one thing. Pearl Harbor was totally unprepared for the attack. And yet, they had all the information they needed to know the attack was coming. It was interesting that after the, like hours after the attack, a telegram arrived from Washington saying that they were going to be attacked. But it wasn't sent as a priority. I watched in the movie as they show the sailors standing there looking with their mouths open. And on the documentary video, actual footage, they standing there in unbelief watching these bombers bomb them and strafe them and torpedo them. And I then got to thinking, the church is pretty much the same. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What does that mean, to be strong in the grace? Well, I know what it means to be strong. Amen. You have a choice. You can be strong in the law, in which you judge everybody. It's amazing how often people in the law don't judge themselves, but they judge everybody else. And usually their judgment isn't according to the law, it's according to themselves. But you can be strong in the law, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Or you can be strong in the grace that is of God, the tree of life. To be strong in the grace is to be totally focused and immersed in Jesus and what He did on the cross and the promise that He gave that He will raise us up with Him. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. The key word in that verse is faithful. When Jesus said in Mark 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he said, literally, go out and preach the gospel. He didn't say go preach the mysteries of God. You understand that the letters from Romans through Hebrews and James and Peter and John, those are to the church. They're not to the unbelievers. They're to the church. It's the church that needs to understand the mysteries of God and how they operate. And he tells Timothy to preach or teach these mysteries to the faithful men who likewise will go and teach others that are already believers. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I read in the Gospels where Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem and he went through Samaria. And those Samaritans would not accept him at that time because his face was set like flint. If you are a good soldier in Christ and you're going to endure hardness, your face is set like flint on the job that is set before you. There's no variation. There's no whining or crying or excuses. In a war and in an army, you have a line of authority. And it only takes one person in that line to change an order, to cause the death of everybody else. It only takes one person to not obey and cause irrevocable damage to many others. To endure hardness goes back to what God said to Joshua. To be strong and very courageous. There are times when your flesh wants to react a certain way. Believe it or not, my flesh sometimes wants to do things that aren't right. It's hard to believe, I know. But there are people, even in this ministry, that sometime I would just like to shoot them. That's my flesh. But if I'm going to be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ, that means that I not only walk in that grace for myself, but it means I walk in it for others as well. And sometimes to do that, you have to endure hardness. You have to keep the eyes focused on the prize. And what the mission is. And the mission is to give forth Jesus Christ to those around you. Even if you'd like to pinch them or thump them on the head. Because that's the flesh, that's the carnal part. But if we are going to be the soldiers of Christ, and to serve him as he wants us to serve him, then we have to be about his business and his desires and not our own. No man that warreth, and we are in a war, men and women, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a good soldier. You want to know a way to tell if you're entangled in the things of this life? Would you like a clue? Well, nobody said yes. I'm going to tell you anyway. Okay, Karen said yes. When you're corrected in a thing, how do you respond? Do you respond by justifying yourself or defending yourself or by making excuses? If you do, then you're entangled in the things of this world and this life. Because if your heart was set to serve God and to do that which He wants you to do, then the things of this life would not matter. And if you did something wrong and you're corrected, you'd praise God for the correction and move on. And if you didn't do anything wrong, and the person that was correcting you was mistaken, guess what? You'd praise God because you got to be accused of something you didn't do, just like Jesus. What good is it if you do wrong and you're corrected? And you fight against it. What reward do you have? But if you're corrected for something you didn't do, and you take it with meekness and grace, enduring the hardness as a good soldier, then your reward is great. You might understand what I'm saying. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If you be of Christ, if you receive Christ as your Lord and your Savior, then you have been drafted into the army of God. It is automatic. You cannot be a Christian and not be a part of God's army. There may be those out there that would argue with me. And there may be those that would say, I don't know what I'm talking about. And you know what? That's okay. I don't really care. Because I know what God has shown me and what the Lord Jesus Christ has taught me. And if you're going to be a Christian, you will and are drafted into the army of God. And you will have to learn how to walk in obedience in that army. And if you can't do it in this life, what in the world makes you think you'll be able to do it in the next? Here we have grace. Here God's grace abounds. But when you get to heaven, there is no grace. There is none. If you sin there, there's no sacrifice for sin there. The sacrifice for sin was given for here. and God's grace is upon us that we can learn through that grace. Even though we make mistakes, even though we screw up, even though we do all kinds of stupid things, He gives us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to learn, to walk in obedience to Him. And it's not every man, which you find so many places teach, that they're under God. How many times I've had the Lord show me a thing and I'd go tell somebody, well, I'll have to go and ask God. I said, if you do that, it's going to be too late, my friend. You better go through Jesus Christ first. I've actually had the Lord say to me to go and say, thus saith the Lord to people. I remember a minister one time. And I remember his name. His name was George Downs. He used to be the pastor of the Chuliota Community Church. In 1975 or 76, one of those two, but maybe 74. Anyway, the Lord had me to go to him and say, thus saith the Lord, take your hands off my people, or I will require thy life. And the man laughed at me. Within 3 days, he died of a heart attack. See, if he understood the law of authority in the church, he wouldn't have died. He'd have been alive. God's grace covers so far. God's grace covers a repentant heart. God's grace covers a humble spirit. But a rebellious, disobedient, self-righteous heart and spirit, it cannot cover. To be strong in the grace of the Lord, one must daily humble himself or herself to the Lord. And how do we do that? Do we just go and say, Lord, I humble myself before you? Do we get on our knees, maybe take our shoes off? Sounds good when you say it fast. Amen? Do you know why God said not to murder? Because man was made in the image of God. And when you kill the image of God, you're attacking God. Bob read out of Psalm 51. David said, against you and you alone have I sinned. Well, you mean he didn't sin against Uriah, who he killed? You mean he didn't sin against Bathsheba, who he took unlawfully? You mean he didn't sin against his people by doing these things? No. He sinned against God because Uriah was made in the image of God. And those weren't David's people, they were God's people. So you want to humble yourself before God. You learn by practicing with one another. You learn by practicing being humble with one another. Amen. That's all I've got to say.
Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see. Lord a cheer.
Lord, we thank you for your words today. We thank you for watching over us. We ask that you be with us this week, that you guide us and protect us and reveal your word to us, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.